What's up, everybody? Welcome back. And let's talk about the big event that's looming just a little bit under 24 hours away, a big event that's taking place this Saturday out in Quebec City, Canada. And that is the big title fight taking place this is a light heavyweight title fight taking place between the monster Arthur, better BF, and Callum Smith. And three titles on the line, the IBF, WBC, WBO, and the remaining title, of course, for that division is the WBA, which happens to be around the waist of one Dmitry Bivol. And Dmitry Bivol, who returned successfully on the undercard of the Day of Reckoning, the big card that took place out in Saudi Arabia in December. So this is the other three titles, or these are the other three titles for that big division. And Callum Smith is stepping up in a huge way. And it looks like a lot of people are favoring Callum Smith to pull off the upset and stop Arthur Beterbiev and lift those titles from him. This is wild, you know. It's a fight that many are starting to call 50-50 as it's gotten closer. Immediately when the fight got signed, it's a wash, right? Just because of what Arthur Beterbiev has done to the sport and his ascension and his consistency within that division, his body of work, it's immediately a given that he's going to win regardless of who they put in front of him. And as the fights get closer, of course, the intrigue begins to build and you start looking a little bit with a little bit more detail into the two fighters and their styles and so forth. And it begins to play games in your head as to, man, he could really pull it off. And hence, the end result becomes, or at least the immediate result becomes, the pathway to victory that you begin to analyze and see for each fighter. And if the upset was to take place, how do you see it happening? And that's a lot of what we cover here on this episode, that we like to look into the details and dive in and see how we could pull the upset, or if it's just going to be one of those stay busy type fights, or a not as intriguing as the public is making it out to be, or as the networks are selling it to be. So we're going to look into this a little bit. And I'd like to hear your thoughts. I'm really curious to see what you guys think as to whose hand is going to be raised victorious tomorrow, who's going to emerge victorious by the end of this event. Arthur Beterbiev, of course, is coming into this with 19 fights, 19 victories. This is going to be his 20th professional fight. And he's got 100% knockout ratio. 19 wins, 19 knockouts. He's been in some tough fights. He's been challenged a bit. Most recently, his last fight was a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, or under a year, I guess, because January 13th when this fight takes place. He fought January 28th of last year and was inactive the entire time. Before that, he was last active prior to Anthony Yarde of January 28th of 23 to against Joe Smith Jr., and that was in the summer of 2022. That's when he ended up unifying the division and lifting Joe Smith's title from him. The intrigue here is starting to be billed as youth versus that youth will prevail over the veteran Beterbiev. And that's what we're starting to try to separate here, try to break down, see if there's any legitimacy behind that. Beterbiev is 38 years old going into this fight. And Callum Smith is the younger of the two fighters. I'm trying to find his birth date here, because I know he's not 38. Let me see if I could find it here. He's definitely the younger of the two fighters. Both of them have these records where they're impressive in their own right. Beterbiev more so because of the level of opposition, that he's faced. So Callum Smith is 33 years old. Okay, so there we go. 33 versus 38. So yes, it is, and so rightfully so, they're billing this as a youth versus the veteran, the young versus old type billing. Anthony Yarde gave Better BF a really good fight last year. A really good fight. Anthony Yarde, of course, gave Kovalev a really, really good fight, which ended up taking a lot out of Kovalev's arsenal. And Kovalev turned around and came back within a couple months to face Canelo. I think that was like a September to November turnaround. And he was a shell of himself. And he ended up getting stopped by Canelo. Canelo took a lot of criticism for picking on a weak Kovalev at that point, on a diminishing Kovalev as he was finding himself in the latter stages of his career. And nonetheless, Kovalev performed fairly well. The bigger fighter, the heavier puncher of the two, performed fairly well in that showdown against Canelo, and potentially a full version of Kovalev, or a Kovalev in his prime, would have given even more trouble, posed more trouble to Canelo, and potentially stopped him. The fight would have gone a lot differently, but that wasn't the case. The fight got made. Kovalev, of course, that was a big payday for him, and he ended up getting into the fight. He agreed to it. He knew what he was getting into, and that's how that went. So when we look at this case right now is something that we've been talking about in the last few episodes, where it's an issue of layoffs. These long layoffs seem to be a big detriment, especially for the bigger fighters, for the heavyweight fighters. Excuse me. This being a light heavyweight fight, we just saw Dmitry Bivol with a layoff from November of 22, a 13-month layoff, and it actually paid dividends for him. The layoff was actually, body, it ended up transitioning or translating into rest, well-needed rest. And he performed well. There was zero ring rust, zero signs that he was slowing down, that his stamina was faded, or that there was any effects to due to the long layoff. He came back and he performed awesome against Lyndon Arthur. And then again, it wasn't the toughest of opposition, but it was a good opponent. And it was a decent fight, and it was a good showing by Dmitry Bivol. Arthur Beterbiev has been doing this for quite a while, where he's been fighting once a year. And Callum Smith hasn't been the most active either. And that's where I start evening this out, where I start, if I was leaning for Beterbiev, and people are talking youth versus age, well, those long layoffs may very well translate into well-needed rest for the older fighter, where it may transition as ring rust for the younger fighter because he's in his prime and he's not being active. He's not keeping the body going. Callum Smith fought once in 2022, did not fight in 2023, fought once in 2021, fought once in 2020. Three fights in 4 years. So in that sense, Beterbiev is definitely the more active of the two fighters, because he fought January of 23, June of 22, December of 21. That was a 6-month turnaround right there. And March of 21. So now that starts tipping the scales in the favor of Beterbiev. Another issue is that Callum Smith, this is his third fight at light heavyweight, after his lone defeat at super middleweight. He came back in September of 21 and stopped Gilbert Rivera in 2 rounds. From there, he didn't fight until 11 months later, August of 22, against Mathieu Bolderlijk. And that was a 4-round fight in which he knocked out Bolderlijk. These were introductory fights into the light heavyweight division for him. Stay busy fights, but necessary ones, good matchmaking on his behalf, except now that we're all the way at January of 24, it looks like it was wasted opportunities, because with two victories like that, entering a new division, that was good work that he was putting, that he was getting. He got some rounds, he experienced the punching power of a new division, he got to iron out some of the kinks that he may have been experiencing entering this new division, and then he stopped. And at that point, it becomes wasted work, because he didn't build on that. The fact that he stayed out all 2023 didn't build on it. So now he gets into this big championship fight against a complete monster. This isn't a Rocky Fielding. This isn't a George Groves. This is a man who has 100% knockout rate, has stopped every single one of his opponents. And yes, it's gotten tougher for him, for Better BF. But because he's facing the absolute best that there is available, the best available opponents in his division. No, he never faced Zurdo Ramirez. But he did face Joe Smith. He did face Anthony Yarde. He never got to face Kovalev. But Yarde ended up giving a tough account and being stopped by Kovalev, but gave a tough account to Kovalev. So he was someone to be reckoned with. And then Kovalev retires. Better BF was on his way up when Adonis Stevenson was on his way out and out of boxing. So they didn't cross paths. He didn't cross paths with Zurdo Ramirez, but Zurdo Ramirez did fight Dmitry Bivol. So between the two, Bivol and Better BF, they've been basically cleaning out the division and clearing out the path to where all roads are leading against one another. Where it was, people were clamoring to see this fight because these two guys were making noise. Now it's inevitable for it to happen, but we need Better BF to look good and come out success, at least just be victorious tomorrow night against Callum Smith in order for this fight to take place. And I really believe that we'll see this fight. If Better BF is successful tomorrow, I really believe that we'll see the big unification bout later this year, maybe around the summertime between Bivol and Better BF. Bivol just did his job, eliminated the IBO champ, which is the fifth sanctioning body and the lesser known one, but the IBO nonetheless is up there at fifth, if not sixth or tenth or whatever small title. He just lifted the IBO title from Arthur, so now he's got another title around his waist, but he holds that WBA, the fourth big title and the remaining piece for Better BF to be undisputed and vice versa. Callum Smith is stepping into this fight with a record of 29-1, 21 knockouts to his favor. And he has good opposition, but most of his experience has come in a division south of light heavyweight at super middleweight. Some of the big names that he ended up facing that he has on his resume to date: Rocky Fielding, Eric Skoglund, Luke Blackledge, George Groves, Nicky Holson, Hassam Endam, John Ryder. And if you catch the pattern here, European or UK fighters. His biggest fight of his career to date came against one Saul Canelo Alvarez, when Canelo was collecting titles. Canelo faces Callum Smith, a towering fighter, a fighter who was towering over him. And in that fight, you could go back and listen to the recap episode that I did that very same night And I quickly pointed out, and that stuck in my head, that comment that I made, because it's what was popping in my head as I was watching the fight, where Canelo, it's very rare to see what Canelo did that night, and he ended up turning his biggest disadvantage and his opponent's biggest advantage against him. He turned Callum Smith's advantages into disadvantages. His towering height, his long reach, his punching power. He stayed inside on Callum Smith, where Callum Smith couldn't fully extend his punches. He destroyed Callum Smith's body and destroyed Callum Smith's bicep, if you remember that. And if you don't remember that, go back and watch at least the highlights so you could see what Canelo did to Callum Smith's bicep, where he's walking in the back and he couldn't even move his arm. It was a bowling ball of a bicep that he walked out, that he finished the fight with. He didn't get dropped, so that's credit to Callum Smith as far as chin and stamina and durability, and he's going to need every bit of that against Beterbiev. We know he's a fighter that is durable and that is strong and that likes to come forward and take the fight and take the pressure to his opponents. That's Callum Smith. But he needs range, he needs spacing to be able to offload his punches, and Beterbiev is very quick on his feet at closing in on the range. Beterbiev is more of a mid-range type fighter, where Callum Smith needs a little bit more space. And that's where the contrast is going to happen here tomorrow night, because Beterbiev is not going to give the spacing. And there is a formula to defeating Callum Smith, laid out by Canelo Alvarez, who turned his big advantages into disadvantages for Callum Smith. There's a formula on how to beat Callum Smith, but there is no formula on how to beat Beterbiev yet. He may very well be the one, and he can be the one. The closest example that you have right now is going to be Anthony Yarde last year. Marcus Brown. Joe Smith Jr., unfortunately, when that fight was taking place, I was really pulling for Joe Smith Jr. to put on a great performance, similar to when I was pulling for him against Dimitri Bivol, because I like Joe Smith, the blue-collar fighter who still works the 9-to-5 and gets in the gym whenever he can. He reminds me a lot of Kelly Pavlik, and I was pulling for him, but he just got dismantled by Beterbiev. He got stopped in 2 rounds and was all over the place in that ring. Marcus Brown ended up with that, cutting Beterbiev on the forehead with that really nasty cut. And then Anthony Yarde, who just was willing to stand and bang and hurt Beterbiev on numerous occasions during that fight last year. In the end, Beterbiev was too much and stopped Yarde in 8 rounds. But Yarde is a tough opponent for anybody. He's not that type of fighter that's gonna be awkward to where he makes his opponents look bad. He engages. He takes the fight to you, he engages, and that's why he's been so successful in his respective career as well. Very similar to what Callum Smith is going to bring to the table, minus the height, right? Callum Smith actually has the height and the reach as an advantage, with a similar style to what Anthony Yarde brought to the table against Beterbiev last year. And that's the intrigue behind this. Not so much the age, but the styles. That's what's intriguing to me right now. Can Callum Smith pull it off? Maybe. But remember, there is a formula on how to defeat Callum Smith, and it happened one division south at super middleweight. His inactivity may very well come back and haunt him, but he is young, so he should be able to bounce back, hopefully by round one, find his groove, by round two maybe at most, but he can't stay behind on rounds. He can't fall behind on rounds early on and just take off the first quarter of the fight to find his groove and find his rhythm. He needs to find it and find it quick. And if it needs to happen by round two. Because Better BF just continues to inch forward and take your ground and begin to impose his assault. And this is going to go one of two ways. This is not going to be a fight like we saw with Better BF and Marcus Brown. This is going to be more of one of two similar fights. It's either going to look a lot like the Joe Smith fight, where Better BF just comes and imposes his power and starts connecting and just starts sending Callum Smith from one side to the other, or it's going to look a lot like Anthony Yarde. My money is that it's going to look a lot like last year's fight against Anthony Yarde because of the durability that Callum Smith has displayed throughout his career. He's tall, he's lanky, he uses his height very well. But he failed to do so against Juan Canelo Alvarez. And obviously Canelo's experience was too much for Callum Smith at that time. And he incurred a lot of damage there. The inactivity is what's leaning me towards Better BF, aside from his perfect record. Because Callum Smith has taken two fights at light heavyweight against subpar competition. And he looked good stopping both of these opponents, as he should have. But then, nothing else. He never stepped it up. He didn't gradually increment the level of opposition, but went from two subpar opponents to the top dog of the division. And we may very well have another Lyndon Arthur, Dimitri Bivol event tomorrow, where you're going to see where the levels are going to be very evident as to why Better BF is at the top and Callum Smith is trying to get there. And you might very well, he might very well expose Callum Smith tomorrow as being a B-level fighter. And one that doesn't belong in the top echelon of contenders. He's a hell of a fighter. And the pressure, in my opinion, lies on Callum Smith to perform. He has Buddy McGirt in his corner, so a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and he's going to need every bit of it. The pressure is not on the champion's shoulders to retain his titles, but on the challenger's shoulders. Now, with any big fight, there always happens to be some controversy. We just talked about this last week with Virgil Ortiz and Frederick Lawson and his long-awaited comeback. Where's the controversy here? Leading up this week to the fight, there's been back and forth between Bob Arum and Eddie Hearn, between fans on social media, the finger being pointed at Better BF as a cheater, others defending him, and blah, blah, blah. And that's where the controversy begins, because it is reported that there was atypical findings during the anti-doping tests that were performed for Arthur Better BF. Now, the wording is key here because they reported atypical versus adverse findings. Adverse meaning there's something irregular with going on with you and it continues to pop up. This was atypical findings. And this is due to two samples that were collected, one urine and one blood sample, on December 6th of 2023. One of the samples, or atypical findings, quote unquote, was for 5B androstenedione, and the second yielded results for HGH, human growth hormone. The key thing here to know is that it wasn't an adverse finding where there seems to be an irregularity with the sample, but rather an atypical finding, which is not necessarily deemed as a positive result for a banned substance. It's atypical basically means further testing needs to be done. Adverse means your urine or your blood is tainted. Adverse is basically already deeming, is already on the lines of positive, a positive test, positive samples. Atypical is such a small inkling that something popped up there for those two things that I mentioned, the 5B and for HGH, that further investigation was required, and they did conduct it. So since then, three tests have been conducted. The dates for these tests were, let me give you those dates. So that was December 6th, atypical findings. From there, they collected urine, December 15th, blood and urine, December 21st, and January 3rd, just last week, after New Year's, they collected blood. Urine, December 15th, blood was the most recent, December 21st, both blood and urine. And all of those three samples yielded negative results. So what popped up on December 6th? Excuse me. Whatever popped up December 6th was not there December 15th, December 21st, January 3rd. And the fight will go on. The fingers have been pointed. The accusations have been made. Top Rank is defending and standing by the results, whereas Matchroom is questioning as to the clarity and the legitimacy of these findings. So the fight will go on, and both fighters made weight earlier today. Both fighters look in shape. Both fighters look good. Both fighters look ready. This could have derailed the fight, and it's not. That's the controversy that ended up coming about Wednesday evening, I believe, and Thursday. But today, there was a successful weigh-in by both fighters, and the fight will go on. Exciting, exciting fight. I'm interested to hear from you. Leave me a message on the posting on the Instagram post corresponding to this episode as to how you see the fight, and do it now. As soon as you see the post, then, and you're listening to this episode, leave me a comment on there before the fight happens so we could have a conversation. During the fight, you could shoot me a message on X and we'll talk as the fight is taking place. We'll talk live. I love to hear from you guys. Thank you guys for the continued support. And we have ourselves a championship matchup with three titles on the line. IBF, WBO, WBC, light heavyweight titles on the line and at stake for Caleb Smith to surely has all the opportunities and all the chances to become a champion at light heavyweight as he once was at super middleweight. This, of course, would derail the plans and the talks of Better BF against Bivol, and we would begin to revisit or begin new negotiations between Bivol and Callum Smith rather than Better BF and Bivol, which is a fight that people have been clamoring for. One. Two, I'm leaning towards Better BF. It's hard to pick against someone who has 100% knockout ratio, and it's very consistent and very accurate. And has laid this groundwork, this resume to date. It's hard to pick against him, but Callum Smith is very accurate with his hooks, and he's very accurate in mid-range landing those hooks right on the temple. He's very good at landing right on the temple and right by the ear, which completely messes up the equilibrium of the opponents, and that's his go-to punch. Very, very good when he does that. And so I'm very intrigued as to see how the fight's going to play out. Of course, this is as big as it gets, right? We're already getting a big championship fight in the first month of the year, and it's only going to get better. If you didn't get to check out the last episode, check it out as well, because I ended up putting together 24 dream fights for 2024. I spent a lot of time on that list. I'm curious to hear from you as to what you think about that list, and to let me know which fights I should have put on there, which fights I should have listed on there, or fights that may be on your list that I didn't think of. Other than that, this is a big one. I will catch you guys on the recap episode. Thank you very much for tuning in once again. And I can't wait. This is going to be a huge fight tomorrow. Quebec City, Canada, hosting a big light heavyweight showdown. Take care of yourselves. Have yourselves a good night. Stay warm, because it's been freezing lately. Have a good one.